Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
But for today, I would like for us, in our time in God's Word, to look at Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. And we're going to read from verse 9 down through 12. And even if we have a mic failure, I'm still going to preach. Proverbs chapter 9, beginning with verse 9. Instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. Now, next Sunday, as we've been announcing, we've chosen next Sunday as the Sunday to honor and to acknowledge our graduates. And Adam will be bringing the word to us next Sunday morning. My message today on being a lifelong learner includes all of us. No one is too young. No one is too old to learn. From the time we're born, and as long as we have a functioning brain, we ought to have a desire to learn and to grow. The moment we lose that desire to learn and we stop learning is when we stop growing. An infant learns to roll over and then to crawl and eventually to walk and talk and do other activities in life. It's a picture in and of itself of growth and progress in life that begins and continues from cradle to grave. That's what this proverb is all about today. This proverb that we read is about instruction and learning and wisdom, and it implies to us the idea of growth and being a lifelong learner. Instruct the wise, the Bible says. And what will happen when you instruct the wise? They will be even wiser. Teach the righteous. And what will happen? They will learn even more. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a true follower of Jesus? Disciple literally means student. Or learner. To follow Jesus closely as his disciple is to embark upon a life of growth and godliness. God didn't save us just to sit and wait for heaven. We ought to have a desire to learn, to grow in the Lord. Look at this verse in 1 Timothy 4:8. Physical training is good. I mean, you can walk daily like I try to do. You can go out and jog. You can go to the gym and work out on a regular basis. And it's all great for the here and now, but it has absolutely no eternal worth. So yes, bodily exercise is profitable. Physical training is good. But training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. I want you to look carefully with me at this passage in 2 Peter, because this passage, to me, it speaks of growth. It speaks of progress. It speaks of knowledge and learning. Peter here says, but also for this very reason. Let me just pause there. What reason is he talking about? He's talking about being born again, being redeemed by the blood. And he says in this passage earlier, he says that we are partakers of his divine nature. For that reason, because we're a new creation in Christ, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours, if you're possessing these in your life, you will abound. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You notice I underscored the word knowledge. I believe it's used three times there. And you see, when we add to our faith and virtue knowledge, out of that comes self-control. Something this world desperately needs today. Self-control, fruit of the Spirit. Perseverance and godliness. But the attainment of knowledge is not an end to itself. You know, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge. And I have found in life that there are many people that I would refer to as knowledgeable fools. And I never call an individual fool. The Bible warns us against that. But we could say what the Bible says. And there are a lot of knowledgeable fools that have tried to fill their mind with vain knowledge. There are many things that can be said about a fool, many definitions that we could give. But it can be said today that a fool refuses to learn and to grow. A fool says, I know what I know, and you can't teach me. Look at this. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. You see, the fool has closed himself off, even the discovery and the knowledge of God. But for us who enter into a relationship with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God is the God of faith and possibilities. Amen. When we have a relationship with God, it should be exciting. We set off on a life of faith, a journey with God. And what we need to be careful of is that pride can come in and put a stop to that, and a loss of wonder and discovery. A little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffs up. So the moment we think that we've arrived, either intellectually or spiritually, is the moment we stop growing and learning. I like what Mark Twain said. He had some great sayings. And Mark Twain said that when he was a boy of 14, his father to him seemed to be the most ignorant man on the face of the earth. But then when he was 24, he said that his father seemed to be the smartest man on the face of the earth. And then he said, it's amazing how much my father learned in those 10 years. But speaking of boyhood, when I was a boy, which was a long time ago, way back when, but when I was a boy, And a lot of you here can relate to all of this. We didn't have computers and PlayStations and videos and iPhones. We didn't have any of that. And the family home, when I was growing up, it was a place to eat and sleep. I lived outdoors. My friends and I, we would spend hours exploring and discovering things, and we would climb trees and play baseball and football and alley hockey. I remember we would play alley hockey with our hockey sticks and a ball and everything. It would be 5 degrees outside. You know, getting our ears frostbitten didn't bother any of us. That might have made my ears a little bit bigger than they were. Anyway, but I'll pretend like I didn't hear any of that. But we, you know, life, there was a wonder and discovery in life. Life becomes a teacher to us, even the hardships. In fact, we learn more from the hardships of life than we do when we're on the mountaintop and the sun is shining. But life can teach us some valuable lessons. Look at this. Someone said this. Wisdom is the reward you give for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. I didn't get any amens on that one. Someone else said this. Every man is my superior, and that I may learn from him. You see, what I want to say this morning is that life is a precious gift. The Bible says, redeem the time. We need to take the opportunity to learn and to grow. Each of our lives is like a book that's being written. In fact, Paul in the New Testament, he talks about our lives being a letter that's written and read by all. A moment forms a word. A day, a sentence. A week is like a paragraph. A year is like a chapter. And so as we move from chapter to chapter, from season to season in life, we learn what we can, and we put the past behind us, and we go on trying to grow and to learn more. Look at what Paul said here. Not that I have already attained. Paul's saying, I'm not done learning. I'm not done growing. I'm still in process. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead. How many God has some things ahead of us? He's given us precious promises, some of which we still need to claim and realize in our lives. So we're pressing toward a goal, the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so today, as God's people press on in faith, as we press into the call and toward the goal in each step of life, every season of life, chapter by chapter, line upon line, we need to learn from these three sources. Look at this. In each step, number one, learn from the Scriptures. Paul wrote to Timothy, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God. I accept it. I accept that statement. I believe God's word from cover to cover. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. You know, unfortunately today, when we start off in life, life doesn't come with simple instructions. Have you ever gone, you know, go in the store and you see something you want to buy and it says on the outside, easy assembly. Most of the time they're lying. They're lying to us. That you pull out the directions and you follow it step by step if you follow the directions. But life doesn't come with some kind of easy instructions. But we do have a guidebook. That's what I'm saying today. We have a book to guide us. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You know, we're getting ready to honor our graduates, and this is kind of relates a little bit to that, and Adam will be speaking to that next week. But, you know, I think the most dangerous thing a young person can do is to leave home. Someone is raised in a Christian home, and they leave home and go off to college or trade school or just go off on their own without a Bible and without a solid relationship to God. This world will bring you down. What I'm saying is that this is our anchor, the Word of God. D.L. Moody said the Bible was not given to increase our knowledge. There are a lot of Christians who have a lot of biblical knowledge. It's more than that. How many of you know that a sermon is more than head knowledge? The best sermon is the one that's lived. And D.L. Moody said the Bible was not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I could go on and talk more about God's Word, but I want to move to the next source of learning. Number one, learn from the Scriptures. Secondly, learn from the Savior. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. One translation says, let me teach you. Come to me, let me teach you. Jesus is Rabbi. Jesus is Master. He's the teacher. And we're His disciples, we're His followers and learners. He opened His mouth, the Bible says, and taught them. He taught them as one having authority. Luke wrote and said, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. You remember in Luke chapter 10, at the end of the chapter there, Martha and Mary, two sisters. Lazarus was their brother. And Jesus came to their home one day. And you know the story. I mean, Martha, she was just like, I've got to serve. She was just serving, doing. And she got rattled. Lord, tell my sister to come and help me. And Mary, this is what I want to point out to you. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. Nothing is more important. In fact, Jesus said, Mary has chosen the best part, and it's not going to be taken from her. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. It's incumbent upon every one of us as believers. We better be what we know. We better be sure that we're hearing his voice. And that brings me to the last point that I want to make this morning in this message. And if you didn't get anything else out of this sermon today, please get a hold of this. Because we need to learn from the Spirit. There are some things that people can't teach you. There are some things that you can't learn in your natural mind. Hear me. There are some things that need to be imparted to you. We're talking about the Spirit speaking, revelation. Look at what Paul said here to the Galatian church. He said, I received my message from no human source. I didn't receive it from man. And no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Watch this. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know. Not just know head knowledge. He's talking about this is part of me. God's in me. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul gives a list of 9 spiritual gifts. And do you know the first two? I don't think this was by accident. The first two gifts of the Spirit, a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. And that's something that only God can impart to us. That's why someone can try to read the Bible and they say, I don't understand this. And they can't put the pieces together because it's not just about head knowledge. It's about learning from the Spirit, the Spirit speaking to us. And in these days of deception, folks, listen, all these lies, all the deception, all of the things that are happening in this world, we need to hear from God. We need to hear what the Holy Spirit says. One day, Jesus turned to his disciples and he told them, he said, I'm going to have to leave you. But he said, it's to your advantage that I go, because if I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And then what did he say? What would the Holy Spirit do? What's the job description of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit obviously would convict, come to convict the world, but also to guide us into all truth, to speak truth, to impart truth to us. He will teach you all things, Jesus said. There's an old story that I've told numerous times over the years about two buddies. They decided to go up to Niagara Falls, and I don't know if how many of you have ever been up there, but you know it's quite an interesting thing to see that waterfall. And so they were there and they were looking at that, and one of the guys said to his friend, he said, that is the greatest source of unused power, that waterfall. And his friend said, no, the Holy Spirit is. The greatest waterfall of power came on the day of Pentecost. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad for Pentecost. I'm glad for the Spirit-filled life. Not just about going to church and hearing a sermon, or it's a relationship we have with God. The power of the Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts when we're willing to listen. And God has given us the power of His Spirit to guide us, to convict us when we need it, and encouragement and empowerment. Look at this. I'm coming to a close here. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what He teaches is true. It is not a lie. There's so many lies today. So many people are deceived, trying to convince themselves that something's right when it's not right. And the Holy Spirit will do His work. So just as He has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. So I say this. You see, people are walking around all over the place. Maybe they have a lot of degrees and higher education and so forth, but they don't know God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So pride and vain knowledge, it leads nowhere but to spiritual confusion and death. But here it is. Instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more. So, as believers, as long as our minds are working, as long as we can put one foot in front of the other, we need to be learning and growing. We need to learn from the Scriptures. We need to learn from the Savior, and we need to learn from the Spirit.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.